प्रयात शिक्ष गुरुगान थानहरा चरण आगे खोरिया वंदान। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय दैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त। I first offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami in his thesis, Bhakti Sandharva, has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the objective of pure Vaishnavas, and that one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with devotees of Lord Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness and thus becomes inclined toward the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation in devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna. For by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste for transcendental love and thus revive his eternal relation with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of the specific transcendental mellow or ras that one has eternally inherent within him. Srila Prabhupada is stressing to us the paramount importance of the association of devotees. At one time during the life of Srila Prabhupada on this earth, one of his senior devotees was feeling that he wanted to execute Krishna consciousness in a secluded place. And he was even criticizing his godbrothers because apparently there was misunderstandings and sometimes even some politics. And Srila Prabhupada, after hearing and examining the contents of this man's heart very carefully, he explained in a letter that for you to think that you can make any spiritual progress without the association of devotees is simply an imagination. It is not possible. Because you see, what Srila Prabhupada, the great acharyas, are trying to give us is the true substance of pure devotional service. As far as some shadow of Krishna consciousness, which appears to be Krishna consciousness, appears to be something very blissful and nectarine, but isn't the real fiber of learning the art of surrender, which is the preliminary for entering into any rasa with Krishna. It is an imagination. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami is explaining here in the Bhakti Sandarbha that it is enough that one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna, because by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve taste for transcendental love. So we have seen even from our own temple some of our devotees. They want to just go to Vrindavan and roam through the groves of Vrindavan like a Saki. Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? And just, they're dancing, they're chanting, they're laughing, they're going to all the festivals, they're like this. But you see, such persons have not understood the real fiber of surrender. We may think that here we are in Bombay, suffering so many inconveniences, polluted city, materialism all around, risks of falling down at every step, and there's so much pressure on me to do so much service, and because of all this pressure, sometimes even the devotees argue and fight together. I don't feel like I'm really Krishna conscious. If I was just roaming through the groves of Nandagaon, Barsana, Govardhan, just in Shaki Bhava, just going wherever Radharani sends me from within the heart, then I will be very happy. No worries, no problems, no tensions, very, very happy. Yes, you can enjoy, but that is all. You cannot be purified very well by this process. Because in Bhagavad Gita, we learn the art of surrender. We learn the art of being disciplined by the spiritual master and being disciplined by the congregation of devotees. And this discipline is the prerequisite. If we try to jump ahead to the level of the six Goswamis, then we will simply be fooling ourselves and there will be no purification. Therefore, under the order of a bona fide spiritual master, we must learn how to discipline our lives, regulate our lives, and perform tapasya, perform austerities for the sake of purification. And of course, here it is explained very, very strongly, because Srila Prabhupada had a great concern that if devotees don't understand how to associate with one another properly and the importance of that association, then even in the name of Krishna consciousness, there will be no real spiritual advancement. People may appear to be very advanced. Sometimes we see people who go to these holy dhams, they appear to be very advanced because they're just, sometimes they're even crying tears when they're chanting. But Srila Prabhupada explains that those tears wash away all the Vedic conclusions. Because the conclusion of the Vedas is to surrender. And what does it mean to surrender? It means tapasya, it means discipline. Not just doing what you like to do and being who you like to be with. I remember when I first went to New Vrindavan in 1972, I was thinking, I don't have anything in common with any of these people. If I had my choice, I would not be in the association of any of these types of people. I'm nothing like them. And yet I have to sleep with them, I have to eat with them, I have to chant with them, I have to work with them. It's a small community. But then I understood from Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy that this is part of the process of surrender. To learn how to associate with these devotees for Krishna consciousness, not for my pleasure, not for my enjoyment. I told Srila Bhaktipad that this New Vrindavan has too much opulence. Hot milk at night and all these things. And Bhaktipada said that Prabhupada, he quoted Prabhupada, Prabhupada said if you are living under a tree and you're asked to live in a palace, you should live in a palace. And if you're living in a palace and you're asked to live under a tree, you should live under a tree. We're simply doing what our Guru Maharaj wants. We may be thinking here, we are living under a house. In fact, I heard somebody was saying that the brahmacharis, it's not good for them to always be living and getting meals. They should be living in the forest and risking their lives. It's not a question of what we would like to do or what we think is purifying. It's a question of obedience and surrender. If the guru puts you in the Taj Mahal Hotel, that's the best place for you to make a difference. If the Guru sends you to live under a tree with nothing, that's the best place to make spiritual advancement. Srila Bhaktipada said to me, your problem is you're too attached to your tree. And I understood. Prabhupada was speaking through him. This is Guru's kripa. That my devotional service, my spiritual purification, isn't to be thinking what I like, who I like to be with. But it's to learn how to associate with devotees for our purification
and for the service of our spiritual master. So what else do we have to consider besides our guru's order?
Vyavashayatma kabudhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hinantasya buddhaya vyavashayana.
That one must make the guru's order one's life and soul. Madhusudan got married because it was his guru's order. He used to associate with a Mataji. Can you imagine this? Huh? She's a good Mataji, but still, Matajis are Matajis.
For the service of guru.
And if the guru tells you to take sannyas, then you take sannyas. Our concern is simply this: to learn how to associate with devotees as an act of surrender to the spiritual master. We are not so proud and foolish to think that we can make any advancement whatsoever outside of the instruction of our guru. Even if apparently by leaving this place and chanting 108 rounds a day and fasting on only 3 neem leaves a day, people all around will think, my God, this person is really serious and really advanced. This is not the way to make advancement, unless your guru orders you and gives his blessings for you to do this. It's better to be here eating your chapatis and dal and doing your service with a humble and sincere heart, associating with devotees. This is the proper understanding of association. And in that association, we should always aspire for one position only, and that is to be the servant. We should never expect honor or recognition in the association with devotees. If it comes, we should accept it as the causeless love of the Vaishnavas. Sometimes devotees say, devotees should not flatter one another. We shouldn't flatter one another. But if from our heart we express our appreciation, that's not flattery. And in hearing that, we shouldn't get puffed up and say, oh, just see, they are recognizing my glories. Rather, we should understand that this is the causeless love of the Vaishnavas. Although I have no good qualities, because of their love for Krishna, they're able to see something good in me. They're able to appreciate something in me. Krishna is so kindly encouraging me through them. In this way, when we hear something, we actually become more humble rather than we become proud. And we should be very, very anxious to honor the other Vaishnavas and serve the other Vaishnavas in whatever way we possibly can. This is how we properly could understand the importance of association of devotees. If one develops love for Krishna by Krishna conscious activities, one can know the Supreme Absolute Truth. But he who tries to understand God simply by logical arguments will not succeed, nor will he get a taste for unalloyed devotion. The secret is that one must submissively listen to those who know perfectly the science of God, and one must begin the mode of service regulated by the preceptor. Here Prabhupada is describing so nicely how to understand the absolute truth. We must submissively hear from those. It doesn't only say the guru, but anyone who is properly repeating the words of the guru. The guru's words in themselves are absolute. They are the word of God. Therefore, when various devotees give class every morning, we should be just as attentive to them as we are if our own guru is giving class. Because factually, our own guru is giving class. There are two ways of association with guru. One is vapu and one is vani. Vapu means his physical presence. Vani means the sound vibration. Physical presence, Prabhupada explained, we should take advantage of whenever the opportunity is there to as much as possible. But it is not near as important as the vani, or the association through sound vibration. Because that, the association of guru through sound vibration, if we are sincere, will be with us always, 24 hours a day throughout our life. But his physical association may or may not. Therefore, we must understand that wherever the words of our guru are coming, our guru is there through Vani. When we read his books, we are with him. When we remember his instructions, we are with him. And when someone is giving a class or preaching, and they are preaching the message of Sanatana Dharma as is coming through Guru Parampara, we should understand that our guru is, in fact, speaking through this person. And if our guru is, in fact, speaking through this person, then how much we should be anxious to respect and hear his words. This is how we should associate with one another. We should factually see one another, not only the Ritvik guru, but we should see every one of our God brothers who is in any way serving our guru and repeating the words of our guru. We should see them all as representatives of our guru, and we should honor and respect them accordingly. Ever the guru's sound vibration is coming, we must not see that as being separate from our guru. And that means all of you together. When you give a class to one another, when you preach to one another, when you are repeating the word of your Guru Maharaj, all others should understand that my Guru Maharaj has come through Vani. And when we understand this type of association, then we will really, really, really be entering into the realm that Jiva Goswami is discussing, of that type of association of devotees where the guru's remembrance is constantly within the hearts of each of one another. And we are constantly helping each other to remember guru. Not just by talking about his pastimes, that is nice, but most of all by discussing his instructions and how we can serve him. And this is the most important thing, that the words, the instruction of the guru must be the unifying force between all of us. And as I have said with great emphasis many times within the last few minutes, how is it the unifying force? When we can learn to perceive our guru through his vani wherever it appears. A devotee already attracted by the name, form, qualities, etc. of the Supreme Lord may be directed to a specific manner of devotional service. He need not waste time in approaching the Lord through logic. The expert spiritual master knows well how to engage his disciples' energy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and thus he engages a devotee in a specific devotional service according to his special tendency. A devotee must have unplug that. A devotee must have only one A devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master, because in the scriptures acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. We were discussing the other night this idea of jumping from one guru to another. Yet you accept a vow of initiation, and then you hear someone else that sounds nicer. You hear somebody else that's giving a sweeter understanding of Krishna. So you switch. This is spiritual suicide, because you're committing such an offense. If the spiritual master is not bona fide, if he is not representing the disciple's succession, or if he is outrightly fallen, then we can accept another initiation. But as long as that guru is in the proper bona fide disciple's succession, and he is living according to the standard of Krishna consciousness, then it is forbidden in all scriptures to accept anyone else as a guru. If someone else is enlivening you, exciting you, you can accept that person as a shiksha guru, but it should be in harmony with the instruction in the order of the Diksha Guru. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization, with the result that he must continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder. For such a ship can never reach its destination. It is imperative, therefore, that one must accept a spiritual master if he at all desires to gain favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including a spiritual master, he is at once an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such an offender can never go back to Godhead. It is imperative that a serious person accept a bona fide spiritual master in terms of the Shastric injunctions. Sri Jiva Goswami advises that one not accept a spiritual master in terms of hereditary or customary social and ecclesiastical conventions. One should simply try to find a genuinely qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the service of the spiritual master is essential, and how if one cannot serve the spiritual master directly, one should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between his instructions and himself. And how much we must learn to serve the spiritual master according to the arrangement of Krishna, and to be obedient and to be loyal. But if we think, Prabhupada says, that we're above consulting anyone, then we're an offender to the Lord. This is very important. This is the discipline of a devotee. The devotee does not engage in any important activity without getting the blessings of guru or representatives. If he thinks that I'll just do things on my own, he's being offensive to the Lord. I'll go here because I like to go here. I'll do this because I like to do this. Krishna's blessing is not upon anything we do unless it's under the consultation and with the permission of the great souls. If we want to start another business, if we're grihasthas, it has nothing to do with Krishna unless it gets the heartfelt blessings of the great souls to be used in Krishna's service. If we want to visit our family, it's simply maya unless we get the permission and the blessings of the great souls, guru and his representatives. And even if we want to go to Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Vrindavan, Navadvip, we're going there for our spiritual purification for the pleasure of Krishna, but Krishna will not be pleased if it is not without the blessings and the auspicious permission of the devotees of the Lord. This is Vaishnava etiquette. And this etiquette is very essential for our spiritual progress. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that this accepting a guru that for customary social purposes is not really accepting a guru at all. Accepting a guru hereditary, it's like sometimes castes have their gurus, special guru for the caste, and everyone in the caste has some formal relationship with the guru. But this is not really at all what is spiritual life. We must find someone, and not simply accepting anyone, Prabhupada says, for ecclesiastical conventions. That means because this is the institution, this is the person you are assigned to accept. Even within our own movement, we have this. This is the movement, this is the person. You are in this geographical area, this is the person that you are assigned to accept. If you are really in your heart are able to follow that direction, accept them, then that's good. But if not, we must look for someone who is genuinely qualified if we want real advancement in spiritual understanding. Is there any questions? Yes. And it's not a question of superior. It is a question that at the time they were all in a very, very wonderful way representing Prabhupada. And therefore they were all genuine in that sense. But everyone has their independence. If someone later on misuses that independence and wants to take a position for his own pride rather than as the representative of the previous acharya, then Krishna will create a situation where he falls down. And that falling is also for his purification. He's indirectly making advancement. Now, what does the disciple do? The disciple has to simply have faith in Krishna. The disciple has to understand there's really nothing, there's no big problem here. This guru was guiding me. As long he was guiding me, he was repeating Prabhupada's message, he was repeating the previous acharya's words and engaging me in devotional service. So therefore, as long as he was doing that, I was making spiritual advancement. But now, if he's no longer in a position to guide me, then it is for certain that Krishna will direct me to someone else who can guide me and take me from where that person has left off. Of course, this is a very unfortunate situation, and we should pray that it never happens. But even if it does, it should not be a disturbance to our spiritual progress. Because factually, if someone is repeating the message of Guru and living according to the message of Guru, we can understand on that level that he's a bona fide guru. But as far as the depths of his realizations of Krishna within the heart, if we're a neophyte devotee, we have no access to understanding that. Huh? But if he is repeating the word of Krishna and repeating the words of the disciplic line, and he is living according to that, and he is not engaging in sense gratification, then we can understand that, yes, this person is in the position of a guru. Huh? And we can accept with faith. If we are truly inspired by that person, if we find Krishna coming through that person, and if we accept with faith, we can have full confidence that Krishna will protect me under all circumstances. But we should accept that guru as the representative of God and give him all the love and honor that we would give God himself.